ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So tonight we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, 8th chapter, Attaining the Supreme. We'll read text number 7 and 8, because number 7 has very short purport. So I'll read 7, then we can read 8 together. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam an Anushamara Yujacha Mayi Apita Manobudir Mam Evashasi Asam Shayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind intelligent in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's name, one will be transferred to the spiritual planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. Text number 8. Abhyasya Yuga Yuktena. Everyone repeat. Abhyas Yuga Yuktena. Chetasa Maya Gamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Parta Nuchinchayan Avyas Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Naya Gamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Partanu Chinchaya. Abhyas Yoga. By practice, yuktena, we engage in meditation. Chetasa, by the mind and intelligence. Na, Anya, Gamina, without their being deviated. Paramam, Supreme. Purusham, Personality of Godhead. Divyam, Transcendental. Yati, One Achieves. Varta, Asana Prita. Anuchintaya, constantly thinking of. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the solemn vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice and helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the Supreme Enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated, the Supreme Enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is different manifestations and planetary expansions as Narayan, Vasudev, etc. The devotee constantly thinks of the object of worship. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the Super Soul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly, and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same conscious constitution as Krishna. Om Arganantaram Nasya Jananjana Sakaya Saksu Nitam Zena Tasmei Shri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Vanobi Stam Sabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dante Swabadandikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasa Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again. Who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So, chapter, text 5-9 is talking about remembering Krishna. Seven, five, whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone and once obtained my nature, of this there's no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. In today's verse, he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviate from the path, Hail Bartha is sure to reach me. And one more verse, number 7, is, Therefore, Arjuna, should always think of me in the form of Krishna, at the same time, carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activity dedicated to me, your mind intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. So tomorrow is the Ekadasi, and it's also Gita Jayanti, the Advent. It's at the time when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now it took him about 45 minutes to an hour to speak the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. That's 700 verses. But when we read, we're going to read the whole Bhagavad Gita tomorrow. It will take 2.5 hours or more. It takes some time to read all the Sanskrit verses. In either case, these verses are telling us that how Krishna is telling Arjuna that you should always remember me. And at the same time, carry out your prescribed duty. So the Bhagavad Gita is like a drama where Arjuna is a Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of the Lord, and Krishna's friend. Nine processes of devotional service begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and becoming a friend or surrendering everything to Krishna are the last two items. So Arjuna was already Krishna's friend, and that's not material, it's spiritual, an eternal friend. So he's the eternal associate of the Lord. And as Arjuna's friend, Krishna agreed to be the chariot driver of Arjuna, because Krishna made a vow that he would not take up any weapon on the battle of Kurukshetra. So one time, Duryodhana came to see Krishna in Dwarka, and Krishna was lying down, taking a little rest. So Duryodhana sat down next to Krishna. And then Arjuna came at the same time and sat down at Krishna's feet. So when Krishna opened his eyes after taking rest, because he was laying on his back, he first saw Arjuna. So he said to Arjuna, Nice to see you. How can I help you? But Duryodhana protested. He said, I came first. So you should fulfill my interests first. So this was before the Battle of Kurukshetra. So Krishna gave Duryodhana a choice. You can have my armies, or you can have me on your side. So Duryodhana was envious of Krishna and the Pandavas from their very childhood. And he couldn't understand the position of Krishna. So he chose to take Krishna's armies. And therefore, Krishna took the side of Arjuna. But he as his chariot driver. So why is Krishna telling Arjuna that you should fight and at the same time think of me, when Krishna will be there right next to him all the time? And the answer is because the mind is fickle, and therefore it says it's necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. So this is in the, of course, Arjuna is under the influence of the yoga maya, playing the role of a innocent person, but for our benefit. So the Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago for the benefit of all human society. It's one part of the Veda, or the Mahabharata, the fifth chapter of Mahabharata. And Krishna says, Bhakti Mama Vijananti, and I can only be known by pure devotional service. So the Bhagavad Gita is not easily understood by non-devotees. And if you go to any bookstore, there will be 20 or 30 interpretations or translations of the Bhagavad Gita. But none of them actually give the real, true understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada said that why are they sticking their nose in other people's business? Because unless you're a pure devotee, unless you're a Krishna devotee, you can't understand what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. In most translations of Bhagavad Gita, you can't even understand that Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. And they give some mundane interpretation that the battlefield is the body and the Pandavas are the senses, or the one Dr. Radha Krishna gave it, said when Krishna says, Mamana Bhava Madhbhakta, always think of me, he says not, you shouldn't think of Krishna, but you think of Krishna from within. This is a Mayavadi conception. Some of all the other Bhagavad Gitas are Mayavadi conception or misinterpretations because the author had personal motivation to write a book to make money, not to educate people, and without really understanding the Bhagavad Gita. At one time, a lady came to Srila Prabhupada on 2nd Avenue and asked him, can you recommend a Bhagavad Gita that I can read? And Prabhupada said, no, I can't, because there wasn't any available. So Prabhupada sent Brahmananda to Macmillan Company to sell one of the people a record they had made. And when Brahmananda got there, and Prabhupada told him at that time, when you go there, ask him to print Bhagavad Gita, our Bhagavad Gita, because we had a Bhagavad Gita, but it was a bridged edition, wasn't the full Bhagavad Gita. So Brahmananda went there and met this man who was working in the accounts department, and he had no idea about printing books. So he wondered why Prabhupada told him that. But then, all of a sudden, the man came in who was one of the editors of the Macmillan Company. And he spoke with Brahmananda. Brahmananda told him that we would like to publish Bhagavad Gita, our Bhagavad Gita as it is. And the man said, well, that's very good. We've been looking for a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, since Prabhupada was Trikalya, do past, present, and future, he miraculously, like a miracle, had them agree to publish the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And that's what we have here today. So the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to make people devotees of Krishna. But in many countries in the world, in many societies, people are afraid of the Bhagavad Gita. And even in Russia, they tried to ban the Bhagavad Gita. Call back later. It's your mother. So in Russia, they tried to ban the Bhagavad Gita. So you wonder why, what is it that it's in the Bhagavad Gita that disturbs people so much that they want to ban the Bhagavad Gita? Because the Bhagavad Gita is making so many people devotees of Krishna. In the Western countries, all our temples used to be churches, and many of our temples were old churches, and people weren't coming. And when they asked Prabhupada if they thought Christianity failed the people, he said, yes, I think so. So because the Christians aren't able to keep their followers and satisfy people, they're envious because so many people are becoming devotees. And when you become a devotee, you follow four principles: no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And when people hear that, that also makes them even more envious, because other religions don't say that. And people don't want to give up their sense gratification. And the whole Western economy is based on these sense gratification. And if they close the slaughterhouses, close the liquor shops and brothels, gambling halls, then many people would be out of business. So in all cases, because devotees are happy and peaceful and don't have to work hard all day long, make a little money, and are struggling like everyone else, it makes people envious. And even when we open temples in different neighborhoods in the West, the neighbors become envious and do certain things. And it's very hard to make them favorable. Even in Vrindavan, we had problems with the man next door because we were ringing the bell for Mangala Arati. But then you wonder why people are coming from 10,000 miles away just to visit Vrindavan, to come to this temple. Because by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he has made this temple for devotees. And people may live in Vrindavan, and they may, and because they have no devotion, they can't appreciate this temple or what Srila Prabhupada did. So in this verse, these two verses, Krishna is saying that we should remember him and think of him at the same time, carry out our prescribed duty. So this is also the most important instruction from the Padma Purana. Sartavya Satatam Vishnor Vishmartya Na Jatu Chit Saravidhi Nised Ashur Aityor Eva Kinkaraha. Krishna is the origin of Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastra should be the servant of these two principles. So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Nandi Adi Govindam, Sarva Karana Karanam. And from Krishna comes all the other expansions of Narayan, Vishnu expansions, and so many incarnations, Lord. And the incarnations, Lord, are coming like the waves in the on a waves in the ocean. They're unlimited. But Krishna is the fountainhead, or the one supreme person. It means the no one's equal to or greater than him. So Prabhupada's saying here, we should constantly think of the object of worship of the Supreme Lord in any of his feature, Narayan Krishna Rama. So when chanting Hare Krishna, there are 10 offenses to be avoided. And the 10th offense is to maintain material attachments even after so many instructions on the subject matter, and also to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. One time, Srila Prabhupada, the devotees wanted to have a class at a college. Wanted to give a Bhagavad Gita class at a college. And the professor there said, I like you people, but you chant too much. And so he didn't want to give them permission to have a class. So he wrote a letter to Prabhupada to this effect. And Prabhupada wrote back and said that Bhagavad Gita says, Satatam kirtiyanto mam yantascha drita vrataha manascha tascha mam bhakcha nitya yukta upasate. Always sharing my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, though these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So so many letters back and forth, and finally the professor agreed to let devotees give their class, because it says always chanting my glories, and that is what we're supposed to do, always chant to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But while chanting, we ought to avoid the 10 offenses. And the 10th offense is to be inattentive while chanting. So here, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, at the same time carry out your prescribed duty. So whatever we're doing, we should try to think of Krishna at the same time. Of course, in the Jarva Dharma, Keshi Damana was glorifying Jarva Dharma last night. The one person there who was the Acharya Guru, when he would sit to chant Hare Krishna, immediately he would remember the pastimes of Krishna. And this is what recommended: when we chant Hare Krishna, we should think of Krishna's pastimes. But we can't do that in the conditioned state. As long as we're still under the influence of three modes of material nature, as long as we're not completely free from material contamination, that is not possible. Even we can read about the Astaka Lila, the eightfold pastimes of Krishna, but we still can't actually enter into an understanding of these pastimes. As long as we're not free from anartha, come to the stage of anartha nivritti, we're freed of all unwanted things. So Krishna says in the Nectar Devotion, and also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned that pure devotional service to Krishna is rarely achieved. Krishna easily gives liberation, which means the demons he kills, he gives liberation. And they go to the Brahma Jyoti. And he even gives, awards people a place in Vaikuntha, where they can, four kinds of opulences they can have. But pure devotional service, Sanya Bila Sita Sunyam, Jnana Karvanavitam, Anukalena Krishnasno, Bhakti Uttamam. This pure devotional service, free from any tinge of karma or jnana. If one is sincere and serious and has no ulterior motives, has no other interests or desires, then Krishna will award that person pure devotional service. So Krishna Prabhupada said that I have created this society, and if I make one moon, there are many stars in the sky, but there's only one moon. So if I can make one moon, I'd consider my mission successful. Means it can make one pure, unalloyed devotee who is 100% sold out to Krishna. Of course, that's not to say that there aren't any pure devotees in our movement or any advanced devotees in our movement. There are many advanced devotees. In one definition, Nectar of Instructions, that Prabhupada gives, he says, if someone is following strictly the orders of his spiritual master, meaning chanting 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, and making plans to spread Krishna consciousness, then he's considered a Uttama Adhikari, or topmost devotee. So many of our sannyasis in our movement are doing that. And also, it says in the Nectar Devotion, there's 64 principles we should follow, and one of those principles is one should not accept too many disciples or unlimited number of disciples. But in the purport to that verse, Jiva Goswami says that we should accept disciples and for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. But it is risky business because the guru has to accept the karma of his disciple. So this same thing is mentioned in Nectar Devotion, that for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, many of Prabhupada's disciples are accepting many disciples for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. So, because Prabhupada wanted this movement to grow, and it was the order of Lord Chaitanya that the chanting of Hare Krishna, the prediction was, would go on in every town and village all over the world. So therefore, we can't expect the movement to stay in one place. In 2006, we had 400 temples. Now we have 600 temples. And there are more and more who are being constructed and open as time goes by. So it's important but that the guru is qualified and the disciple is qualified. In this way, one can take many disciples, but first he should see that the disciples are qualified and are strictly following the principles. You know, when Prabhupada was here, if one chanted 16 rounds and followed the four regular principles for 6 months under the guidance of the temple authorities, then he gave first initiation. And then if they followed for 1 year after that, he gave second initiation. In this way, he converted so many people into Vaishnavas, even though Prabhupada was criticized by his god brothers and Brahmins, so-called Brahmins and Goswamis, that you can't make Western people into Brahmins and sannyasis. But this is not the verdict of Shastra. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that even if one is born in the family of a dog eater, if he's following strictly the Vaishnava principles, he should be accepted as a guru. Even we know that in Lord Chaitanya's time, there was Magari the hunter. When Narada Muni went to Prayag, then he was walking through the forest. And he was walking through the forest, he saw different animals that were half killed. Three or four different animals that were moving in pain, half killed. Then he left the common path and he saw the hunter, Magari the hunter. So Magari the hunter became angry, but when he saw Narada Muni, he controlled his anger and said, "Yes, why have you come here? Have you come for some gift? I can give you so many nice skins, of animal skins." No, Narada Muni said, "No, I came to make one request. That if you, why are you only half killing the animals? If you're a hunter, you should just kill the animals completely." But Magari said, "No, I get pleasure in doing this. My father taught me this art, half killing animals. I get pleasure in doing this." But then Narada Muni said that you'll have to suffer a sinful reaction, and all those animals that you have killed and died will come back and do the same thing to you. So then Magari became a little thoughtful, and he decided he would surrender to Narada Muni. So Narada Muni said, "The first thing you must do is break your bow." Bow and arrow was his weapon for killing animals. So he was a little hesitant, but then he did that. He broke his bow because he was thinking, "If I don't, how will I maintain myself if I don't have a bow and arrow?" But Narada Muni assured him, "You don't need to worry, that I'll maintain you." So this person followed Narada Muni's instructions, who told him to give away all your valuables, and just you and your wife take one cloth to wear and sit down in the hut and next to the river, worship Tulsi, and chant Hare Krishna. So in this way, this person was delivered from a hellish condition to becoming a topmost Vaishnava. And then so many people heard that this hunter had become a Vaishnava that they were bringing so many gifts for him and food stuff. So he requested Narada Muni not to send so much. We just need enough for our daily maintenance. And then Narada Muni came back to see Magari the hunter and with Parva Muni to see what he was doing. So when Narada Muni approached, the hunter who became a Vaishnava was jumping up and down, and instead of offering obeisances. So Narada Muni asked him what he was doing. He said, "Well, there were ants on the road. I didn't want to step on those ants." So in this way, he was converted from a terrible, sinful man to a Vaishnav who didn't even want to kill an ant. In this way, this Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world and converting people from then fifth class to first class men and women. So Krishna is telling Arjuna to think of him at the same time do his duty of fighting. Because thinking of even in Krishna was on the planet when Lord Chaitanya's time, his servants also deviated. And even in the presence of Lord Chaitanya. So Arjuna was asked to think of Krishna and fight at the same time. And we do so many different kinds of activities. The Bajari may be offering arti to the deity form of the Lord, which is non-different than the Lord. But in his mind, he may be thinking of something else. Maybe thinking of getting a visa and going to America, or getting married, or this or that. The Prabhupada said, if you're looking at the deity, but you're thinking of something else, You're not really looking at the GD. So you have to control your mind. Prabhupada says it is necessary by force to control the mind, so the mind may wander. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, also the mind wanders here and there and everywhere. So we have to bring the mind back, keep bringing the mind back, and just try to hear the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So even Lord Chaitanya's servants, on Krishna Das, was in the presence of the Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is omniscient, all-knowing. And when he was traveling in South India, he came to a tribe of people called the Badaharis, who were gypsies. And they had women in their camps who allured men to their camp. So this Krishna Das, even though he was in the association of the Lord, he was allured to the gypsy camp in the early morning. And Lord Chaitanya went to them and to rescue his servant. And they attacked Lord Chaitanya with weapons. But those weapons, instead of attacking Lord Chaitanya, attacked themselves, and they were being cut up, and they ran away in fear. And Lord Chaitanya grabbed his servant by his hair and pulled him out of that camp. So because he misused his free will, and he couldn't fix his mind on Lord Chaitanya, he was allured, even though he was a personal servant. And also, one time, when Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, many people were coming to Lord Chaitanya and saying, "We're seeing Krishna." And then Lord Chaitanya's servant, Bhava Bhattacharya, said to Lord Chaitanya, "Can I go and see Krishna?" So Lord Chaitanya mildly gave him a slap in the face. He said, "You're supposed to be a learned man. You think that people are really seeing Krishna? Krishna doesn't come in Kali Yuga like that." Then one gentleman came and said what was really going on. It was nighttime, and there was a fisherman in a boat on the Yamuna who had a light. So they thought the boat was a Kaliya serpent, and the light was a jewel on his head, and the fisherman was Krishna. So it's not that they weren't seeing Krishna, but they were when they were seeing Lord Chaitanya, but they were thinking man to be God, and God to be a man. Things like topsy-turvy in the Kali Yuga. So they were thinking the fisherman was Krishna, and that Lord Chaitanya was an ordinary man. Well, it was just the other way around. So in this way, why Krishna is telling Arjuna that he should think of him, because the mind is chanchalam, always flickering and unsteady. And the mind is our best friend if it's controlled, and our worst enemy if it's uncontrolled. So even in the presence of the Lord, the mind may wander here and there and everywhere, and even whatever service we may do, the mind may also wander. But at the same time, we should not give up our duty or service. And because we're doing it for Krishna, if we're doing service without any motive, if someone's doing banking, or someone's doing cooking, or someone's doing cleaning the temple, if they're doing it simply for the pleasure of Krishna, then there's no, then that is pure devotional service. There's no motive, so Krishna is pleased with that kind of service. But if we're motivated in some way and we want to have sense gratification and serve Krishna at the same time, that doesn't work. It's like if you want to cross a river and you have two boats and you put one foot in each boat and try to cross the river. It doesn't work. So we have to surrender to Krishna. That is the last word in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Dharma Parikshaja Mame Kam Saranam Vraja Ham Bham Trava Bhamne Yo Moksha Shami Maha Suchaha. So this is the whole purpose of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita is to get people to surrender to Krishna. And to surrender to Krishna means we do everything that's favorable for Krishna, reject everything unfavorable, always know that Krishna is our protector, Krishna will bestow his mercy on us, feel oneself meek and humble. And this way, Krishna says, Masujaha, do not fear, I will free you from all sinful reactions. So, and also, in the 18th chapter, text 57, Krishna says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such a devotional service, be fully conscious of me. And he also says, Mamana, Mamana Man Bhakto. Mamana Baba Mad Bhakto. Mam Yaji Mam Namaskaru. Mam Vaishi Satyam Te. Patijane Priyosi Me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you'll always come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my dear devotee. So in all circumstances, we should try to not deviate from Krishna consciousness. Always try to be engaged in Krishna consciousness by following the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. By chanting properly, chanting attentively, then we'll also be able to remember Krishna and not in all circumstances. In Nectar Instruction, Prabhupada says, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Smaranam Dasa, the stage of hearing. By constant hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain to the stage of acceptance called Varam Dasa. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to hearing of Krishna Katha. When is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smarana Vasta, the stage of remembering. Recollection, absorption, meditation, and constant remembrance and trance are five items of progressive Krishna Smaranam. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, which happens to most of us when we're chanting Hare Krishna. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated, and it's called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it's called anusmriti. By uninterrupted, unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi, or spiritual chants. After samadhi dasa, or samadhi, has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. That is called sampatti dasa. Sampatti dasa, the perfection of life. So, this is what Krishna is saying here, that it's certain that if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain at the end of our lives, we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. So, leaving the body in Vrindavan is certainly recommended. And if you're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, you go to Vaikuntha. But if you're practicing Raganuga Bhakti, then you want trying to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, then you will go to where Krishna is having his Nitya-lila in the material world, and you will take birth from the womb of a gopi, and as it says here, you understand your constitutional position, what your service, who you are in the spiritual world, your spiritual identity, and therefore you will be able to directly serve Krishna and attain Goloka Vrindavan and not have to come back to this material world again and suffer repeated birth and death. Hare Krishna. So I don't have any time to answer questions because I have some service to do. So if you have any questions, you can ask me later. Thank you all for coming. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Antara Bhagavad Gita ki jai.